This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Well, make it so, number one.
What?
These aren't the droids we're looking for.
In an insane world, it was the sanest choice.
Silencio, Bruno.
And my axe.
Hey, fellas. Either one of you know where the Smithsonian is? I'm here to pick up a fossil.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
Geeks out on Joy 94.9.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
You are back with Miranda and Tamsin.
Yeah.
I'm actually really excited for this next one, Tamsin.
I was too. Like, it's been on sort of waiting for this to come out. So.
I mean, Kingsman, you know, left a bit of a sour taste. So we're gonna pick up the pace a little bit with something a bit more fun. Although, fun is the wrong word. This is a serious horror movie.
It is.
Being reviewed by very not serious people. Antlers is directed by Scott Cooper, stars Kerry Russell and Jesse Plemons. We've got a quick trailer for you right now. Take a listen.
What is storytelling? Storytelling started with our indigenous people. Can anyone give me an example of a myth or a story they're afraid of? Lucas. What's going on?
We found a part of a man in the woods today.
Part of a man?
I guess the other half was found in the mine. All this has got to be an animal, right?
No animal that I've ever seen.
Something is going on with Lucas. These drawings belong to a student of mine.
This is what was in the mine. It's a diabolical spirit.
Excuse me, this is a myth.
For you, yeah.
He's not your responsibility.
He has no one. He is my responsibility.
He'll come for me. He needs me. He's here.
Now, Tamsin, before we go any further, it's probably a good idea that we put out a trigger warning for our audience. As much as you and I enjoyed this film and we were engaged in it and it was a serious, dark, atmospheric horror movie, it does delve somewhat into the issue of childhood abuse and violence. Not in any graphic detail, but it does discuss these things. If this is distressing for you, maybe, you know, it's a good idea to tune out for a little bit. Come back at 8 o'clock when we got some, you know, more music pumping out on Joy. If you're, you know, distressed by these discussions, please check out Joy's support page, joy.org.au/support, where there's a whole list of folks who are there and waiting for you to help. If you hadn't quite picked it up from the trailer, after returning to her childhood home in Oregon, a middle school teacher suspects abuse in the home of one of her students. What she finds instead is far more horrific. This is based on I guess you'd call it a short story. It's available for free in audiobook form. Tamsin, you had the chance to listen to this.
I did as well. It's very much a short story. It's a nice, quickly paced hour. And look, the underlying ideals of it, again, as Clayton says, the book's always better. look, I'm glad I didn't read the book beforehand because it follows very, very closely, but completely different endings. So it's well worth having listened to both because it was quite interesting.
What I thought was interesting is that I didn't get a chance to listen to the original audiobook. It's called The
Quiet Boy by Nick and Scott.
And Tosca.
And Tosca.
Yeah, there we go. The audiobook only goes for an hour, and yet the film goes for 1 hour and 40 minutes. So, you know, that tells you something. But, you know, it's a funny thing. Even though there's that 100-minute film, I don't feel that, you know, it was ever padded for content.
No, and if I tell you where it was padded, it gives stuff away, so I won't tell you. But when you listen to both, it's very obvious where
I mean, it's not padding when it's substance.
No, and that's it. Like, they really... The character development in this is beautiful.
Now, I think while there are a lot of quiet lulls in this film, I tend to believe that those moments build an ominous atmosphere. But Tamsin, you and I usually disagree when it comes to feelings of pace.
It was interesting. You asked me to think about this earlier. And when I thought about the difference between the book and this, I didn't actually notice the pace difference, like what the areas that they'd extended and they'd slowed were quite interesting because they fed off each other on the quicker bits kind of thing and on bits that. So I think this is probably one place where we agree because I think this was really beautifully paced for suspense, for, you know, development, character development. It was and that horror aspect that I like where it plays with your brain because what you expect to happen doesn't necessarily happen kind of thing.
Yeah, this is not a silly, screamy slasher.
Not at all.
That requires, you know, that has somebody running from one room to the other.
Look behind you. Stupid.
None of that going on here. No. Where the virgin survives or anything trite like that.
No.
Now, I want to say I adore Kerry Russell.
Oh, she's fantastic in this.
She plays the lead character. She plays the school teacher. I love her in serious roles in general. You know, I've seen her before in, you know, what comes to mind, Dark Skies, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, The Americans. As an actor, she has this ability to bring a real gravity to every role she's in, a real intensity, and it was ideal for this production. And she's someone she's survived some shit.
Yeah, oh, definitely. And she's someone who's hung in there, and I think I really hope this promotes her to do more movies again, because I think she carried this off so well, the character she portrays and the strength she holds behind it through.
I definitely odds love and her ends. In these sorts of and the vulnerability yeah. oh, of her 100%. As well. The other star is Jesse Plemons, who's popping up all over the place these days. You know, it's a funny thing. He's probably a fantastic guy, and he is a great actor. He has this real sort of, you know, buddy charm to him. But I always see the character he played in Breaking Bad, Todd, and expect him to make a vicious turn at any moment, which I think is a testament to Breaking Bad and that particular episode, if you've seen it, to how one powerful scene can absolutely impact you. But, you know, he still did pretty well in here. He played very well off of Kerry Russell in this film. Again, we have to touch on the element of childhood abuse. Again, you know, if this topic is distressing you, you know, please tune out. joy.org.au/support if you need to reach out to somebody. There are people there listening. I do like in the execution of this film, usually when you're telling a story, someone will instruct you to show, not tell, and they'll say that that's a higher form of storytelling. But in this, we have characters discussing abuse more in how it affects them. And, you know, we see that in their actions, how that affects them, rather than talking about the specifics of what had happened to them. And that feels a lot more honest and engaging, but, you know, like living with the consequences of this horrible, horrible thing. whatever it was. I think it was a good thing, personally, that the specifics were never addressed, because that would have been wholly unnecessary.
Yeah, to the story. And it set up who the characters were and where they came from to be where they were, why the boy was where he was and why she was where she was. One of the, I went through a few reviews, because this actually, you know, again, it's one of those movies that were affected by COVID and it's delayed. It was due out in April 2020, and it's been delayed and delayed, but for good reason. But one of the reviewers called it an icky house horror as an allegory for generational trauma, which definitely.
You know, that feeds into, the other point, which I really drew from this. It talks about, you know, the origins often of that abuse, you know, what creates an abuser. In this case, it's bitterness stemming from poverty, because this story is set in a small Oregon town where the folks are struggling to make ends meet. They've been forgotten by the outside world. There's a coal mine there that, you know, is shut down. Nobody needs that anymore. And it's in those sorts of environments where people are forgotten and people struggle that, you know, abuse can become rife, and people with very little power can utilize and abuse what powers they do have in some desperate need for control.
Mm.
And that was definitely conveyed here in Antlers.
And I think what we need to go into next, which made Antlers for me, was the monster and the, and the producer with
Guillermo del Toro.
Thank you. Guillermo del Toro. Once it's on paper, I can't read it. Guillermo del Toro, the monster in this, the antlers, is amazing and comes through quite dramatically.
It is quite appropriately inhuman. Like, you know, yes. Like you hear a name like Antlers and you think it's going to be like a giant moose man.
Yes.
Or something. But, you know, we get nothing of the sort.
I was thinking, because it was out at Christmas time, that it might have been some plan. Play on a demon, Rudolph. Come on.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Slay Deer.
But this was definitely a rich atmospheric creature feature.
It's based very much on the Native American legend of the Wendigo. They have a wicked transmission, usually born from, you know, the sin of eating human flesh. I've seen the Wendigo pop up in a few stories, a few different interpretations of it. Very much an amorphous creature in the way that the legend is told, but it's absolutely terrifying every time. They never actually go out of their way to call this a Wendigo.
No, they were very careful with that.
We don't really get a name
for it. They show, like, they go and speak to some of the native people in the town and talk about what it could be and things like that. So you definitely get the impression that it is, you know, a native.
I kind of feel, you know, there's that very appropriate message from the First Nations people. It's like, God, you colonizers come along, there's this old dark magic here, and you just don't respect it, so you kind of get what you deserve.
Yes, that was very the impression, definitely.
A little bit of that going on. Now, if Antlers is appealing to you, it's streaming now on Disney Plus and Foxtel Now, and is also available to rent on Apple TV, Google Play, and Prime Video. And again, if anything discussed in this segment has been upsetting or triggering for you, please check out joy.org.au/support. Folks are there, ready and willing to listen.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.